Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
with tonight's guest, modern mystic and creator of the EP material, Erwin Perlman.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guests, Masha Brodskaya and Brian Forbes. I am Mark Leger, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I don't know about you all, but this was my cleanup messes week. I've been too busy to deal with certain things, and I've been postponing them, and then other things came up, and then I finally said, okay, I have to do this. And so what I'm talking about. In some form or other, we all have these things we have to do. And so there was one thing in particular that I knew required a lot of time and a couple different meetings, and was one of those things I just didn't want to be doing, and I didn't like doing, and I had to do, and I went to meet with the person who is supposed to help me do it. And she, I didn't know her, she didn't know me, and she looked like she didn't enjoy doing what she was doing either, and she didn't want to be there, and she was like, how can I help you? And I thought, okay. And she kind of walked over with an attitude, and I thought, okay, this is going to be fun. And we sat down and we started to do what we needed to do. And without really thinking about it, about 2 hours passed and of working. But in those 2 hours, we laughed. I got to know about her. She got to telling stories about her family and her husband, her brother, and blah, blah, blah. I got to know a little bit about her. She got to have some ahas about her life, because that's what I do. But I wasn't focused on that. And interestingly, our guest Erwin called me in the middle of that meeting. I couldn't take the call, but so between the fact that he called and the fact that this thing, which I was dreading having to do, ended up being quite pleasant and quite fun, if one can call that. And as I was driving, I was thinking, like, what just happened? And because I was also thinking of this show, and the episode title is The Magical Child's Journey of Healing the Imagination, I got to thinking, magical child, my magical child, my inner child, I know in the past would have thrown a temper tantrum, actually saying, I don't want to be here either. And why can't you just do this for me? And I'm paying you to do it or something. And I've done a lot of work to try and heal that. But it was the future self that I felt like came in as well. I used to look at the future self as the guy who had more, the guy who had more of the things that I knew would be great to have more of, like more money and more friends and more power and more authority. But the future self never really thought of it that way, and it's coming together, and I think it's going to come together even more during our conversation today. So the future self also maybe has more compassion, more understanding, more patience, and those weren't things that I recognized and had an understanding of the importance. And so between the magical inner child and the future self, there's me here. And this is a better moment because of the kind of work we're going to be talking about today.
So that inspires the thought that the tantrumical child is still the magical child. It's all connected, right?
It's all connected.
This is going to be a great conversation. Such a powerful guest. Erwin is a master, and I had the great benefit of multiple sessions now at different times and coordinated differently in what I was going through in my life. But I noticed the first time that I had a resistance to it, that I had a resistance to not wanting to go through the process. And I have chosen to go through many processes. But in hindsight, every time I've ever had that kind of a resistance, it's usually meant that I was over the target and there would be some great learning and breakthroughs. And Erwin has an innate ability to bring that out.
Yes, and I'm going to share more on that in just a moment. But in the meantime, let's bring on our guest. He is a modern mystic and creator of the EP, as in Erwin Perlman material. Welcome, Erwin Perlman, to the Life Changes Show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me tonight. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. Great to have you. And so I got reintroduced to you thanks to Lou Murray and Mark, but I was introduced to you 11 or 12 years ago by our mutual friend, Barry Bruder.
Yes.
And so thank you to Barry for introducing us back then. And I got to know you well enough to know, and I bring this up because at the time you were doing exactly what you're doing today. However, it seemed like at the time it was held back or something. And all of a sudden, reconnecting with you, it feels like, whoa, he's like pushing this out there into the world like fast and furious. What changed?
What changed? Well, let's see. I changed. The world's changing.
Yes.
Yes. You know, it's been really decades that I've been doing this work. And for so long, it was, you know, there was no internet when I began or any things like that. And it spread by word of mouth kind of around North America and Europe and a few other places. And I kept it that way for a long time. And it's only recently, in fact, some of the push of shifting modalities happened during COVID when all the traveling and other things stopped, which is the way that I used to do it besides doing it in person in Los Angeles. And it was like, oh, the response was so touching because I was concerned for the first time I did it, you know, would the energy of a workshop really translate over the internet? And I came to find out that it did, you know, incredibly. I had people, you know, I had worked with for decades saying, no, it felt like I was just right there in the room with you. So that was one of the considerations, was the integrity of it. And it seems that, wow, it translates amazingly. And so it became time through feedback and me shifting and, you know, the world shifting, that it's time to bring more of the information, more of the energy forward.
Erwin, you mentioned COVID during that time also, people's priorities might have shifted as well. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. So much of the old, you know, which we've talked about forever, even when I talked to you 12 years ago, kind of the old structures of reality are starting to crumble, making way for some new reality. But what does that mean? And it seems, you know, now more apparent than ever. And so, people that I hadn't seen for decades are like, oh, you've been saying that forever, but now I know what you mean.
And so it's not just COVID. It's also, there's a shift, right?
Yeah, a shift in consciousness. There's this, you know, evolution that me and many, many talk about and been talking about it for decades, but it seems, you know, in the acceleration of it now, and perhaps particularly in 2020, an extra push, a breaking in a certain way of what had been.
So we're going to be talking about the inner child, the magical child, and our future self. And so it's going to mean different things to many different people, but I'm going to ask you what it means in just a moment. What I want to ask you first, though, is you were actually a magical child. Like, you had, I mean, not that your childhood was roses and all of that, but you were doing like magical things and you knew it, right?
Yeah. I knew it. I didn't have any of the names that I have now, and I didn't know it in terms of having an outside observation, but that was just the way that it was at the time. You know, as I would lay on my bed and travel around my neighborhood and look at the top of the church and see the tiles up top and various other experiences of traveling around and doing other things, I didn't. The interesting thing to me in retrospect is that I never really questioned that. I knew that I was absolutely seeing that, that if I went up there on the top of these buildings, that's exactly what it would look like. But it wasn't reflective in that, that I thought, oh, this is special or this is different. I didn't really have a comparison. And it was long ago. And these things, you know, for the most part in the world, weren't talked about. So, yes.
So you didn't really have an opportunity to talk to people about it?
No. You mean back then?
Yeah.
No, not at all. I remember mentioning something very brief to my mother, and by the response that I got, I realized it was not a good idea to talk about that. So I didn't.
Yet I think it's interesting that people must have known something because they would talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I know. I used to go in this old neighborhood, people, I used to talk to some of the women who were, you know, my mother's age, let's say, down in the basements where people did their wash. And I would be 10 or 11 years old, is my guess, all the way till 12 is the timing I remember. And they would talk to me about their experiences with their husbands, with their children, most of whom were, even the children were older than me for the most part. And I would listen and I would occasionally say something. And the surprising thing to me in retrospect is not that I did it, but that they did it. And there was someone who said to me once, well, you know, Erwin, I don't know. When I tell you the story, somehow I just feel better. It starts to shift. Mm. And so, again, it wasn't reflective in the way where I thought, wow, this is, it just was the way it was to me. Like, I didn't have, you know, languaging in the way that I do now, or I didn't think about it other than this is how it was.
You had some kind of some kind of, I don't know how to describe it. What, you tell me, what was guiding you during this time? Because certainly a little boy doesn't have the answers for these women, but was there an answer coming to you? Was some spirit guide talking to you?
Yeah. I would say a lot of the times, yes. Now I would say that that was my higher self and various other guides. So there was always a conversation that would happen. And even as I became a teenager, some of that became more overt with insights into my life and other things like that. Again, still until I was a bit older and now in these times beginning to read more and find out other mystics and other people in the world, then it started to come more clear to me, but it all seemed to always be that way ever since I was little. So I didn't think about who is it that's talking to me, but they always did. And they told me things or explained in some way some of the experiences I was having. Not to mislead, it wasn't always perfectly clear, but a lot of times it was.
So that makes sense to me now. I'm making the connection when you say you see it as your higher self. It it makes sense because you said at one point it went away, but maybe it didn't go away. Maybe it incorporated.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know that it went away, but until maybe 30 years of doing the sessions and the workshops, I was always felt compelled or propelled by an energy. And when people would later on talk to me about they were searching for their destiny or what they really wanted to do, I thought, I've always known that. I mean, I didn't use the language. Once again, it just was there. This was just how it is. And that purpose and all that just seemed to be part of me. So I didn't really think about it in that terminology. There was a point where the force of push to do it seemed to I'm going to say slow to stop. Now, I didn't stop working or doing the sessions. What it seemed to me retrospectively is what I initially came to do, I did. And so now it was up to me to decide more consciously how to proceed or how I wanted to proceed. And part of that is also this timing now of making a certain amount of it more public and all that. Now, the others, my higher self and others, are certainly pushing that as well. But it needed to become my choice consciously as opposed to that's just the way it is.
It's also interesting to me before we move on to inner child and future self is that you not only didn't have the words, you didn't have examples. It wasn't something that was talked about in your community. And at the time, so where did this come from? How did you, and I venture to say you're probably the only one in your family, right? So how did this happen to you?
Well, my answer to you now would be I came in with it. It always seemed that way. I mean, my mother told me stories like when I was born that, you know, my eyes were open from the moment she saw me, which was just, you know, shortly after I was born. She said, you were always awake. You were always, you know, when I was 18 months old, I spoke fluently using big words. She said, people used to follow you around just to listen to you talk because that was whatever, something. But again, it wasn't reflective to me in that way. It wasn't like, oh, I'm doing this. It just was that way until I was much older when I began to reflect upon it.
So you potentially, we could say, were like the embodiment of the work that you help people who didn't embody that maybe at the time for whatever reason to be that magical child. So a very big part, because it's foundational of your work, is to help people connect with that magical child. So let's talk about the magical child.
Okay. And to say it's a piece of one of the things that goes on, but I want to make a distinction between this sort of just child or the sort of even free child that exists to the magical child, which, although it's a term that's used and you know, people have their various versions of what that might mean. I'm distinguishing it because, you know, I do longer experiential workshops where people go deep into meditative states to meet this child, which I'm going to say is really an aspect of your soul. And that aspect of your soul comes to each lifetime and it lands right into what we might call the magical child. But not just the child, but a very particular aspect. And, you know, in the world as it's existed, a piece or a great deal of that gets split or separated at a certain point. For most people, 3 or 4 years old, there can be a happy child, certainly, but a certain amount of the magic splits. And so in the experiences of me reuniting with what I'm calling the magical child, it's difficult in language, but what we're connecting with is that piece of your soul that holds that energy, that lands at that timing that we call child. And part of the reason for that reconnection, it's a healing and it's a remembering. And it's a healing and remembering certainly of a level of joy and love, a level of imagination, a level of beauty, and a level of freedom. But now as an adult, it's not to be a child, but with the adult discernment and understanding, you can now integrate that in a way that it can sustain, whereas a child doesn't have that level of discernment and integration. So it's complex and there's a lot to it, but part of the reason of introducing that now is that that magical child doesn't holds a key, a portal to an adult that can open to other realms and levels of imagination far beyond what a child could do. But easy in a way, opening magical child sounds nice. It sounds acceptable. It's a place to begin, but it's a piece of soul that can, you know, move people in that way. And to say future self, and often in those same experiences, one would meet their future self, right? Just that is
the future self, where the magical child and you have become more or much more integrated. And what does that look like? And it's not a projection from the past to the future. So it looks like something beyond what people imagine for the most part. It's something other than that. And that's why we go to the future in a certain way, outside the set of where people are sitting right now, because it's not inside the set of your current imagination or understanding to reconnect with that. So there's a complexity there, but the magical child isn't just you, the child, which can be anywhere from adapted and wounded to happy and free, but a certain aspect of soul that lands. I'm going to stop there for now. Yeah.
I like that. And is still present today.
Well, it exists. It's often separate. It's separate from the conscious person. It exists, and part of the healing is to reconnect that, to reunite those realities. And it's a massive complexity. That healing happens in conjunction with one's soul. You meet the magical child, but you work with your soul to put that together for the amount of shifts and changes and beliefs and neuronal connections and all the things that have happened since the existence of that early magical child to you now is massively complex. And so it's put together in a certain way by your soul and in your timing. It's done as a ritual. So a ritual bypasses logic in certain ways and bypasses time, so that outside of time, this healing can occur. And in time, in your own sort of timing and cadence, in waves, so to speak, it comes conscious differently for different people, sometimes a lot at once, or it seems, but there's always more. And so it's ongoing. And just to repeat, it's not about becoming a child, but it's about having that aspect, a part of the adult, that piece of consciousness. That's incredible.
Well, when we come back, we're going to jump forward and bring the future, I think, as okay. part of our adult self,
Sure. Absolutely.
So we're talking to modern mystic and creator of the EP material, which you're getting a taste of here, Erwin Perlman. We'll be right back talking about our future self and combining it with our present and our past self. And we're going to have our Ask Dorothy when we come back a little later on in the show. And then we will be joined with a pre-recorded segment by Masha Brodskaya and Brian Forbes as our performance guests, all on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
Get ready to ignite your passion for performance this summer at the Mashup Creative Camp. Join us from July 22nd to July 26th and again from July 29th to August 2nd for an unforgettable journey into the heart of the entertainment industry. At our camp, youth ages 9 to 17 will receive top-notch training in every aspect of performance, from singing and dancing to acting and more. But that's not all. We're not just shaping performers, we're shaping professionals. Our attendees will learn the ins and outs of branding, media presence, and even red carpet training. And for our parents, we've got you covered too. Learn how to navigate the entertainment industry alongside your child, from working with agents and managers to ensuring their safety in precarious situations. Finally, mark your calendars for August 2nd, when our talented attendees take to the iconic Charlie Chaplin stage to showcase their skills to family, friends, and entertainment industry. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to unleash your creativity, hone your skills, and shine on stage. Enroll now and let your star shine bright at our Mashup Creative Camp. Go to www.gwen.global/creative-camp. See you there.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back with our modern mystic and creator of the EP material, as in Erwin Perlman. So might as well give the website right now. TheEPmaterial.com is where you can learn more about Erwin and his work, his workshops, his one-on-ones, and he also has an Instagram page, The EP Material, easy to find. We have links for him on the Life Changes Show page, as well as a little bit more explanation and a video, actually, a video like you'll find on his website. There's a teaser there. So interestingly enough, when I was saying, Erwin, how in a sense you embodied the magical child as a child, you, in a sense, you embody the future adult or the your future self as a young man also, because you were jumping around the world into all kinds of things that almost hadn't even been invented yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there was something that took you deep into this or took you out into that, you're like, I'm there. You travel across the country by yourself to go and experience it, right?
Yes, yes.
Things that we're just learning about now, so many of us.
I know. I know we've talked about a lot of these things over time, you know, but yeah, back, I guess that was the early 70s, perhaps, late 60s, when I started moving around like that. Late 60s, early 70s, yeah. Again, it was like compelled. Certainly I was thinking about it all the time, but it didn't seem to be like, well, maybe. It was just like, no, this is the most important thing. This is the most important thing. And so I would just do it. Luckily, wow. I was young. Yeah, during those times. But to refocus on the future self in a way, since you mentioned that.
Yep.
You know, each of these concepts is so intricate in a way, but to say something about that in fact, one of the really big pieces of work is working with one's future self, because the future self that we're talking about is part of this evolution of consciousness that's occurring. Certainly it's been talked about for thousands of years that sometime around now, you know, however it was said, the old world would come to an end, whether people saw that through destruction or evolution, depending on who was saying it, those that were wise enough to recognize something. But it stopped at a certain point because it was no longer, you know, history repeating itself. It was no longer a linear progression of what had been. So it wasn't just growth, but evolution, implying that it's a different set of reality. Not unlike perhaps you have Neanderthal growing and changing and making tools and doing all these cool things, but never were they going to be Cro-Magnon, no matter how long they went linearly along that line. It was a different animal, so to speak. And so this process now, in a way, an evolution that's not occurred consciously before, ever. And so the future self that so much we're working with is in that other set, if you will. And so one of the keys in working with the future is receiving. And, you know, I talk about it so much, this ongoing choice of being willing to receive and being willing to receive more than you have. Because you can't move from the past to the future in this way. It has to come from the future to the present. And so the way in which we're growing is also changing in this evolutionary time. So receiving becomes not just something you do when you don't know how to do something, but this incredible power that isn't just passive, but very active and filled with choice and filled with whatever changes need to occur for you to receive what you're asking for. I may need to, you know, I want to be happy. Well, for instance, maybe I need to be more honest with my emotions, and maybe I need to make these other changes in order to actually receive that. So when those resonances become real, they push in a certain way the changes that need to occur for you to receive it. So yes, the future self. And that magical child also, it's like
burn the candles at both ends. Each of those are a part of the future self.
It's a fascinating concept to live this moment while drawing from the past and the future and bringing it into this moment. So I think a lot of the ways we think of something, if we want something in this lifetime, we just have to go out and get it or work hard for it. And in a sense, I'm getting a visual that or a sensation in this conversation and in previous conversations with you that it may already be here, but it's mm-hmm. not healed from the past, or it's not healed from the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just to distinguish, I'm going to say the magical child isn't so much the past, but it's yep. an aspect of soul, and therefore it's really an eternal consciousness in a certain way. So different in a way than the past. Not just you when you were two, but an aspect of soul that in truth is eternal, and that's where you can see it, perhaps. But it exists and it's part of the future as well.
So you have traveled the world doing workshops and one-on-ones and groups with these kinds of conversations and work. And now you have begun to put them online, and so they are available for people to go through these and work through the various aspects of not just this, but all kinds of other things that we experience in life.
Yeah.
What is something that you could share with us that besides going to renewal, for example, of journey, of healing imagination, that somebody can go and work through the workshop that you have online at theepmaterial.com. What is something that one can start to prime the pump, so to speak, on the way there about the inner child, the magical child?
Well, there's quite a few things up there, but there's a little section that is called meditations up there on the workshop. And those are what I'm going to call resonance meditations, which are emitting a frequency that allows it to be much easier and much more conducive to blend in a way with the energy that's being spoken of aloud. And they're a set of meditations that are about meeting your future self, meeting your future self that is outside your current set. And so just briefly, those begin. The first one, which one often does several times, doesn't have a form, meaning your future self is a person and it looks like you, perhaps older, or maybe they look younger when you're older, but you. But the first one doesn't have a form. It comes as a frequency. You visualize it as a light, which in a way surrounds you and is absorbed into your cells to begin the healing that way, to begin to adjust frequency and adjust perception and soothe fear of the unknown and all kinds of things. And once one works with that a few times, then there's, okay, the next one begins to take on a form. This is going to look like a person, you, older, as they begin to come with you. And the third one, more advanced, where you come and they work with the energy centers, the chakra centers, shifting those with you, exchanging in some way, giving you their energy as a form of healing and as a form of lifting you to a different set. So complex in a way, easy, those are just up there for people that want to try. But you know, there's a whole range of things. People deal with guilt and people deal with shame and people deal with all kinds of the issues of life that have gone on. And those are worked through, even though we're saying the magical child, but just as I said, hey, I want to be happy, but there's a complexity to that. There's, I've got to work with the resistances to that, even though that may sound odd initially. I've got to perhaps move out of my blame or my stubbornness or my self-pity or my righteousness. And so even though we're working outwardly with these realms and arenas called healing imagination, all of those things are part of healing imagination. So there's a complexity so that emotion can be transformed because it's your energy and you need your energy. The energy of suppressed whatever, from rage and anger to suppressed love. You know, one of the ways I often say it is the definition of a negative emotion is any emotion that's suppressed.
Erwin, mm. So, I want to chime in if I could and ask a question. And maybe in asking this question, maybe it'll translate for the listeners also. But as you were talking about the magical child, and mm-hmm. and as I was just listening to you articulate those authentic emotional self, or those aspects of soul, would I be on point in identifying the magical self, magical child, pardon me, as from the soul level, as that kind of divine creative aspect that's always curious, always expanding, always growing, always learning, much like a child, mm-hmm. but yet always constantly evolving, and therefore it doesn't ascribe to the definition that we have in our human self as a child, versus all of the other selves that we learn to live because they're trauma informed, mm-hmm. or living somebody else's life, or, you know, putting on the masks, etc., etc.
Yeah. So the short answer is yes, but yes. Part of the magical child certainly is that, and it enters in that early part of life. The sort of art of it is, can I integrate that into my adult, which gives those other levels of sophistication and discernment where I know when to have certain levels of vulnerability and when not to. I know when to be wide-eyed and receiving in certain situations. I may not want to do that, depending on what's going on. So yes. And it goes on certainly forever. And I say the magical child in a way is a portal for something that a child can't as a child deal with, but you as an adult with that aspect integrated have, you know, an limitless in a way places to go with that.
Makes perfect sense. Thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes, thank you. Actually, I was thinking about that. So in the monologue, I was talking about a moment where it felt like it was working. And the expanded question is, well, how do I get it to work in every situation?
Yeah.
How do I be perfect? And that came up in our session, Erwin.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
We could joke about it and say, how do I be perfect? Well, yes, but...
Not perfect. Yeah.
But, you know, more and more as I integrate it, right? And more as I create, you know, in a way you work with something and you become a certain craftsperson at a certain point in your emotional repertoire and your ability to integrate your thinking and feeling and all that. And it moves, you know, more into artistry beyond sort of craftsmanship. And the artistry becomes, you know, goes on and on to maybe, who knows, we call it mastery at a certain point, but it doesn't end. As you know, the masters will tell you we feel like we're just at the beginning.
And that's exciting, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. And
yeah.
And I've so enjoyed this conversation. I like where you've been and what you've done to get here and what you're doing while you're here. And I also know of some of what you're going to do in the future. I know we're going to talk a little bit about it later, but let's tease it a bit.
Okay. All right. So what's up and coming? Well, one of the projects is how do I and others, it's can we bring in a way as the world is shifting and changing some of this real resonance and real authenticity in a way into the, in quotes, entertainment world or into the performance world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know you have Masha and Brian coming up and they're going to talk a bit about, don't know what they're going to say, but about Next Vox and these
they have a particular thing that translates brain frequency into sound, and I think eventually into imagery. But, you know, I met them at a conference that was just sponsored by someone, and I had done a small workshop there, and we connected, and it was like, they said, please try this session since you do music in your workshop. It was Masha, and it was like, I tried it not knowing what it was. You put this little headband on and, you know, it starts going. And so it turns these different alpha, beta, all the different frequencies into sounds. The frequency selects an instrument. They'll say it more clearly and potentially a voice. And, you know, a lot happened during that time. And I'm trying to shortcut it a bit, but Masha was like, we had just done an energy session. She said, I felt in listening to that, Erwin, like I got the healing session again, because the music we're hearing is your brain or a version of it.
Wow.
So it's like, okay, where can we go with this? And I guess, okay to say, and I think Mark's in on that potential project as well, or that project. And, you know, it's really exciting. Because now we can, you know, spread it in other ways and have it be really profound. You know, in the old Greek times, they did these plays, which were these healing plays, and they would perform in a town or in a small town, and they would end at a certain point. It was very kind of ritualistically and archetypically designed, and then the healing would continue over the next week or two based on how it ended. You know, and that would go out, and it was like that stimulated in a way, okay, what can we do that's real, that people get a different kind of experience? So I know they're going to be on next, and they're going to talk more about what it is that we do, but we're looking to work together in that regard, and it seems like incredibly exciting.
Incredibly exciting. And so, yeah. And so is what you've got going right now already. So I encourage people to go to the EP, as in Erwin Perlman, material.com, and find Erwin at the EP Material on Instagram. And again, you can go to Life Changes Show and get those links if you've missed them and learn more about him there. Erwin, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing as you have today.
Absolutely. It's always great. And it's always great to talk to you. We've done it only a few times, but it's wonderful.
Looking forward to more.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, Erwin, and for all the work, and very much looking forward to seeing how all this wonderful experience and wisdom and music and integration unfolds for us all.
Great. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Erwin. Erwin Perlman.
Bye-bye.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Maureen, and I am becoming more and more confused every day. There's so much information on social media, and I find that I relate to so much of it. I have been questioning what is true in the history we have been taught, and what are the lies. I've discovered so many interesting things about the past that I was never told about in school. My family tells me not to believe what they describe as nonsense when I do my best to share with them some interesting discoveries. How do we decide what is actually true?
Dear Maureen, social media is a wonderful thing. Although there are as many lies as there are truths being shared, we can use our God-given gifts of discernment to determine what is true for each of us. Discernment and more diligent research into any issue that piques our interest is an exciting way to discover many untold secrets of life on Earth. Social media has assisted me in finding many wonderful truths about our planet and its true history. However, what is true for me is not always accepted by others, so I'm very careful about who I choose to share my discoveries with. What I do share are many of the excellent articles that have awakened my curiosity and allow those I share with to come to their own conclusions. There's an excellent article at hsph-harvard.edu /news that talks about the social media positive mental health gifts to those of us who are looking for answers. I believe this article will assist you in enjoying your pursuit of what is true for you and how social media can be a great gift to all of us. The most important thing you can do is research, and then research some more before you determine what is true for you.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please research and write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And when we come back, we're going to have a pre-recorded performance segment with our performer, Masha Brodskaya and Brian Forbes, all on the Life Changes Online Edition when we come back right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
Well, this is an exciting performance segment. We have performance guests, Grammy Award artist, composer and producer Masha Brodskaya, and Grammy-winning producer and multi-instrumentalist Brian Forbes. Welcome to you both on the Life Changes Show.
Thank you, Filippo. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Filippo.
It's exciting, and getting to know your work and what you're doing with your work and what you're going to do with your work. It's exciting and more exciting. And so we're gonna want to know more later on as more of this develops, because it feels like it's an important thing happening here. But in the meantime, important things have been happening in both your lives for the longest time. Masha, since you were, 4 years old?
Four, yes, exactly.
What spurred that on?
Well, both of my parents are professional musicians, so I've been doing music professionally, playing violin and piano since I was four. And from age six, I was doing composition. So I grew up in a boarding school for music child prodigies in Ukraine, in Kharkiv, since I was six. At seven, I won my first international composers competition. And after I graduated, actually ahead of time, from that school, I went to conservatory in Kharkiv, Ukrainian conservatory, as a violinist and pianist and composer. After that, I went to Moscow and graduated from Russian Academy of Music as a singer and songwriter. And I've been working in the realm of writing music for ads and documentaries, did a little bit of acting here and there. And since the end of 2012, I've been living in the United States, in New York, doing music here, performing, composing, producing. And I've been working with Brian almost since day one I've got to the United States. Wow. was lucky to be introduced to him. So we've done a lot of music together. We were nominated for Grammy. I mean, so we did few different albums. One of them got nomination for Grammy that we did together. And another one won the International Music Award. The album is called Enemy of the People. And we did a lot of beautiful work for different artists, major artists, independent artists. And for the last six years already, we've been working with technology. So the first technology that came to my life totally unexpectedly, that was virtual reality. And I started to work with that, visualizing movement and sound, and the idea of actually bringing things from the ethereal world to the material and visualizing, audializing things. So this is what we've been doing for the last few years. You can ask me more questions, or I can just go forward until you stop me.
Well, there is a lot indeed, actually, and we're going to get into that in a moment. But wow, amazing. And Brian, speaking of amazing, you say that music in some way actually saved your life.
Yeah, I mean, I had a very normal upbringing, suburban Connecticut, and it all sort of came crashing down. My, you know, my father was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, and you know, kind of had the picket fence, two kids and the house, and watched everything taken from him, and including the lack of doctors and government being able to help him or the family really at all. And you know, I specifically remember just sort of lying in my bed and listening to my Walkman and Metallica and Iron Maiden and all sorts of music. Just was the only thing that really made me feel like there was a reason for living at that point. And then I discovered the guitar, and being a really nerdy kid who wasn't good at sports, that was not only a key to sort of unlocking more meaning in life, but then also even seeming almost like a normal human being again, as opposed to being kind of a faceless, you know, kid in suburban high school. So, you know, that led through a complete, you know, creation of going to college for University of Miami for jazz guitar, and moving to New York City and starting, you know, running a music studio and working with incredible artists like Fernando Otero, who we won the Grammy with, and, you know, meeting, being introduced to people like Masha was incredible, and being able to create so much music with her, and then, you know, joining her on this kind of technological journey and meeting of the meaning behind music and consciousness and mental health and, you know, trying to help the world.
It sounds like this was meant to be, in a sense.
Exactly. This is what I was going to say. Yes, you're right.
Between the two of you. Yeah, it's amazing. Well, before we go further, let's actually hear a piece, and we're going to get to hear a piece of a piece. This piece is Recurring Dream of Time and Space. We're going to hear the second half. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, the thought about time and space continuum has always been interesting to me and to Brian as well. And we've spent a lot of time discussing this and the whole paradox of life and time and space and all of these things. So, of course, it's been reflecting in the music that we've been creating. Once creating specifically about this piece, once I asked Brian, that was about a year ago, I said, like, Brian, can you just give me a little bit of guitar, just play something? And he sent me the track, and then, you know, I was able to just take his guitar part and do something absolutely crazy with it, you know, like in all different things that I'm not going to go into details, and to write the whole orchestra to it and build the whole like shape. And then I sent it back to Brian and said, like, okay, here it is. So this is how the Recurrent Dream of Time and Space was born.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's pre-recorded. We're going to jump in the middle of it and get to hear up until the end. And here it is, both by Masha Brodskaya and by Brian Forbes, Recurring Dream of Time and Space on the Life Changes Show. Wow. Well, for centuries, I know guitar and violin have been performing together. I'm sure the world has never heard anything like that before.
Thanks, Filippo. Of course, it has never.
Thank you. Actually, so we're going to talk more about these later, but I want to make sure people know that that you could learn more about what we're going to talk about at nexvox.ai. I'm going to spell that nexvox.ai and GCI Planet. That's GCIPlanet.org. org. And we have other links and videos actually on the Life Changes show pages for both Masha and Brian. So check those out as well and find out how you can learn more about them there. Now, speaking about learning more about the two of you, and it seems like you two are also learning a lot and bringing it out to the world as fast as you can, but you have taken this collaboration and just blown it up. What happened? What's going on?
Well, that sounds about right. Correct, Brian?
Absolutely.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, listen, this is very interesting. We have started to work on music together, and then it led to working on technology together, technology with music, as I mentioned before, virtual reality. And then we have created such such platform as our nonprofit organization that you mentioned, GCIPlanet.org. And we can say later a couple of words about it. But one of the things that are currently are also happening in our crazy lives, one of our main life ventures is Nextbook. So about 5 years ago, I was like, can I tell a little story? It's interesting.
Yes, I promise. Yes, Masha, please do.
So I was sitting in Carnegie Hall at one of my friend's concerts, and it was good. But I kind of got bored, to be honest, so don't tell them, please. But I'm very grateful for what came out of it. And I kind of literally started to stare at the ceiling, and I saw the whole idea of music being created from brainwaves. And as I mentioned before, the whole idea of kind of making the invisible visible, inaudible, audible, subconscious, conscious, was already not foreign to me because I've been doing this with virtual reality. But here I clearly saw brainwaves being instruments and human brain actually creating this brain symphony. And then I came home, wow, spent another 2 hours staring at the ceiling. This is how I create. I look at it totally like a crazy person. If you see me do that, it totally looks like I'm on drugs or something, or I like went somewhere out of body experience. But this is how I create. I go through the whole thing and I see the final result, and then I'm trying to do reverse engineering from that. So I clearly saw the idea of doing this and also using some elements of AI in order to create a safe playground for a peaceful, equal creative collaboration between artificial intelligence and human mind. And with this idea, I ran to Brian. And while I was explaining this to him, I totally heard myself like from outside and was just like, hey, Masha, you sound totally like a crazy person. Brian is going to say like, Masha, you are great. I know, but you know, just like go relax. but surprisingly, Brian did take it seriously. He did. And because of his unique combination of not only musical, but also technical skills, and also, and I want him to tell you a couple of words about that as well, that Brian has been trained in energy healing and doing like being an energy technologist.
Wow.
So he was like literally able to take it from the idea and to the working prototype, technology. So we got ourselves locked up in a lab in a studio for a couple of months, and we came out with this incredible product that started totally as an artistic exploration, being able to create music from another tool, such a tool as our own human brain, like literally brain waves, right? And
yeah, if you can imagine two people, yeah, you know, escaping into a cave. Mm-hmm. Just emerging into the light 2 months later, you know, that was essentially what we did, you know, barely getting ourselves to eat and sleep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's totally normal situation. And then, you know, and then we found out when we tried it for the first time on ourselves, we found the tremendous, tremendous, tremendous healing power in it. And wow, of course, music is healing, but this was much more. Just music. This was the music that was created You're like literally your five brain waves. Okay, go ahead, Brian. Yes, come.
It's the type of thing where you know, there are a couple of things you can't fake. You can't fake, can't really fake tears, and can't really fake, you know, goosebumps. And I remember the first time we both sat with it, the finished prototype, and we both just literally started weeping.
Yes.
And it sort of showed us that, you know, this power of the technology, where it's a lot of where I think tech falls really short for us. And the promise of technology is that it promises to help, but then just ends up being a generic digital version and a weaker version of the real in person. And and what NextVox really does is it really allows a reach into the heart space, and enables a person to sort of open themselves up and connect back with their, you know, a lot of also what technology is actually causing is a disconnect with the body and mind. Because it's beautiful that we're able to reach out. I mean, look, we're all in three or four different places of the world right now and having this amazing discussion together. But, and so Zoom enables that, which is incredible. But also, you know, what would happen if we were all together and we were able to give each other a hug and be able to, you know, oh, come look at this, and you could hear me, hear Masha and I play guitar, fingers on strings in a reverberant room. And somehow NextVox is able to overcome that. Oh, what I was saying is, so I think that technology creates a bit of a disconnect, and it's and it piles on top of each other, disconnect upon disconnect upon disconnect, and people wearing masks and people not, you know, seeing each other and all of these things. And it's, you know, a lot of what people are really hungry for is not only connection with other people, but reconnecting with themselves. And it's really
body mind equilibrium. Body mind equilibrium. This is how we call it. Yes, and NextVox really is that technology that helps people restore this equilibrium between their body and their mind. Yeah, go ahead, Brian. I know that you also have a lot to say.
Wait, I have a lot to say too.
Okay.
Well, and actually I love this, and I want more of this, and I love that it's born out of exactly what you're creating. Obviously, Brian, you're great. You've done a lot of great things. Your resume speaks for itself, and Masha, whoa, I mean, your resume, and you're great. And the two of you coming together doing exactly what you're talking about is that connection, and that's where it was created. So it's gotta be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us, you know, we need that connection. I mean, you know, it's nice to think, oh, I'm so great, but, you know, left to my own devices, I might sit in the cave and in the laboratory too much and get into my own head. And Masha is, you know, as difficult as it can be to have that person in your life who's constantly challenging you. It's awesome. It's a blessing, because if you don't, you know, how else do we grow? I mean, it's the same thing in life, right? Life gives us, life gives us not difficulties, things that we have to overcome, challenges, right? And that's literally is how we grow stronger. And you know Masha's absolute bravery and creative connection is unparalleled, because, you know, she mentioned that I do some energy work and these type of things. And I've worked very hard on the connection. I've worked very hard through meditation and, you know, for 20 plus years. And, you know, when she gets connected, it's still, you know, she has some sort of natural connection to the universe that most of us could only aspire to. And so I feel absolutely blessed to be able to collaborate with such an incredible human being.
Ah, This is
well, thank you. Lovely. Thank you, Philippe, for creating the situation to force him to say this.
It's a beautiful moment indeed. Let's have some music.
Exactly.
Well, actually, this is a horrible segue.
Oh, it's fine.
Well, no, because the piece you're gonna play is about the fall of mankind.
It's really actually about a very beautiful piece about the concept is actually that that a lot of us have chosen to incarnate at this difficult time to help humanity.
And so
really it's about choosing maybe to fall from an easier to leap really into a reality, you know, where you can imagine all sorts of angels or, you know, aliens or whatever it might be, like seeing the difficult time that Earth and mankind is having and making the choice to jump in and help.
Wow. And
I think that even more so, we don't have to be aliens and angels. We can embody that here on Earth as humans, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And your listeners, they can find the link to the fall to the original animation movie that was done by Charles Eisenstein, our amazing friend. I mean, a lot of people do know him. Brian, if you want to say a couple of words about that.
Yeah, Charles is an incredible philosopher, author. He's working closely now. With a lot of people, also Ben Joseph Stewart, who's an incredible filmmaker, made the film with him, and it's, you know, just beautiful to be able to work with such a cast of people, and they all came. Speaking of fate, I mean, it's really been once you give your life over to the larger picture, you know, we also. Yeah. Connected with this was the first piece that was put out by Nasara Media, which is a whole group of people led by Rich Spanton, that put together this incredible music, an incredible body of work, and it's just been a wild ride, I'll put it that way.
Wow. Amazing. Well, we're gonna get to hear the piece now, but if you want to watch the video, we have had permission to post it on Brian's page. So you go to Brian Forbes's page on the Life Changes Show and you'll find it there. You'll get to hear the piece and watch the animation at the same time. Well, here is the pre-recorded piece by Masha, you as well, right?
Of course, yes. Yes,
Masha and Brian, The Fall on the Life Changes Show. Thank you. And there it is. I heard the magical child.
Yeah, I could have didn't realize that you guys had the track that was specifically like with all the sounds used in the video. So okay.
Love it. Love it. That was perfect, actually. And actually that would be the conclusion of our time together. However, we cannot go forward and end this without mentioning that we know you, especially Masha, from through Aaron Erwin Perlman, and you all, I know you can't talk too much about it, but you all with Brian as well are doing something magical together. What can you say before we go?
Oh, that's true. So Brian and I, we met Erwin in Costa Rica about a year ago, and we got familiar with his incredible magic, healing magic. And we had an opportunity to introduce him to the next Vox Magic. And that, in a few words, actually sparked the whole idea, you know, that I came back to Erwin and Brian to actually create the whole show that would be combining NextVox technology, composed music by Brian and I, and Erwin's brainwaves with his healing magic power. So it's going to be quite incredible. Has never been done before in life. And we are very excited to do this, and very much looking forward to creating this. Brian, did I say too much?
Yeah. it's interesting you mention, you know, fate and the way things come together. We met him in Nasara with at a just an amazing conference that Nasara Media puts on, and we were fast friends, and it was incredible to sit down. One of the opportunities these retreats have is we're able to use the NextVox tech with these incredible energy healers and meditation experts and people who just came off maybe an ayahuasca journey or, you know, even ayahuasca shamans, and sort of really put it to the test right next to people who are doing powerful work. And it was awesome to be able to link up with Erwin that way. And then, you know, he has this beautiful magical child project, which maybe he, you know, he spoke about. And yeah, we just look forward to creating a collaboration with such a talented and beautiful individual.
Nice. Well, I couldn't agree more. This is very exciting. And of course, on your end, nextvox.ai, nexvox.ai, and then gciplanet.org, and check them out also on the Life Changes Show page. That's Masha and Brian, Masha Brodskaya and Brian Forbes. Masha and Brian, what a pleasure. Thank you for sharing in the way that you did. I'm glad we got to capture this. What a special show this has been.
Thank you so much, Filippo, for having us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us on. It's our pleasure. Absolutely.
How wonderful. And so with a big thank you to Masha Brodskaya and to Brian Forbes and to Erwin Perlman, our interview guest. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, as our life surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
Ciao.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.